Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has stated that if any individual tells you, explains to you or gives you the news or announcement or tells you that a mountain, certain mountain, has moved from its position, it's moved from its position, shifted from its position, then you can believe that statement, as compared to if the individual says to you that this person, his temperament, behavior and mood has totally changed. Don't believe that point. So from this hadith mubarakah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained with regards to the behavior and temperament of man, of a human being. And the lesson we are given here is that certain people, or people, temperament, behavior is natural. It's from birth, and they will stay on that same stance or the same position, and no power of the world can shift or change the temperament or the behavior of that person. Habits can change, but temperament and behavior in terms of mood cannot change. It's impossible. Just like a mountain, here's the example in this hadith. Can you think that a mountain will shift from a position to another position, or you can move it? In the same way, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's more impossible that the human being's fitra, the natural instincts, the natural temperament can be changed. Now, if we look on a normal situation, that there are different types of people in the world. Different forms, different types of people, different temperaments. Now, if a person in his temperament, in his behavior, in his conduct, there is bad or evil, then that person will do bad. For example, a scorpion, naturally, by instinct, bites, attacks. The snake, by nature, wants to bite, attack. So if a human being, if his temperament is such, behavior is such, conduct is such, inherent, that he wants to do bad, or is inclined towards bad, then that person will do bad. Now, where do we go from here? What we see is that with such a person who in his temperament and behavior and conduct inherently is bad, then the consequence of that person's actions are not good. And for example, the biggest, you can say, illness or sickness amongst us today in Ma'ashara is fasad, is to have a feud or to argue and quarrel. And due to this, a lot of problems occur in society. And as an effect of that, if there's fasad in the house, arguing, quarreling, disputes, then either the husband will be like this, his temperament will be one of argumentation, or the wife will be like this, one of argumentation. And sometimes some women are like this, some wives are like this, some women of the home are like this, that there's a good environment, everything's fine, and suddenly while they're sitting, she'll say something. Or, for example, everything's fine and smooth and comfortable, and the man's just come home from work, and everyone's sitting down, maybe he sits down, he says something, he says a statement or a phrase, and flips the situation upside down and changes the mood, the atmosphere. Children get upset, and then they give an answer, and then fasad, the feud arises in the house, and differences in the heart come into the heart, differences, and everything's turned upside down within a minute, within 2 minutes. And the neighbors come and say, what's wrong? They knock on the door, ring the bell. What's happening? What's all the noise and the clamour? Children, their mood, they say, oh, we live here. What's going on here? Why is this happening in our house? When this happens, then we say, no. Oh, I didn't say anything. No. I didn't mean this. When I said this, she was saying this, and I said this, and there was a misunderstanding. So if the wife is good, then there's a negative aspect in the husband's character or approach. And while he's sitting. He may say something bad, and she was doing everything fine and everything smooth, serving the home, and suddenly a negative thought came into his mind. He had a mood swing, and then fitna arises in the house. Fitna, fasad, argumentation, quarrelsome. And in society, same type of people create problems. Ma'ashara is fine, it's smooth, balanced, community is fine, and then somebody's got a warped way of thinking or twisted way of thinking, then he injects poison into the ma'ashara, and he spoils the environment, he spoils the mood in the community. And these are the people who spoil the deen. Same people. The country that has a problem, the same individuals create the feuds and the outbreaks of arguments in those countries. Look at history. Look in the history books and the events that have taken place. The same natured people who inherently want to create fasad or feuds or quarrels. For example, a masjid. Should there be fighting in the masjid? Argument and police come and then the masjid gets locked down. Is this something that should happen? Think about it. If you have a fight at home, a quarrel at home, in your shop, in your workplace, and then we bring the fight to the masjid. Fighting, quarreling, fisticuffs, hitting each other, complaining, and nobody looks back and says, that from where have we come, what has occurred, who did this work and made the effort? No. We're just worried about ourselves. Now we don't know, is it Maulana Sahib whose temperament's not good, or is some member of the public whose temperaments are not good? And because it could be that everyone's fine, and then somebody has a slight bit of a complaint, or he throws a spanner into the works, and then the ma'ashara, the society, gets spoiled. In a very nice way, Darul Ulum is running, the work of the deen is progressing, and then somebody will come into that institution and spoil the atmosphere. Students will be upset, and the atmosphere will get spoiled and go negative and dark, and everyone's temperament will change, and the mood will change, and the way of teaching will then change. This is what happens in our mashra, isn't it? Nowadays, what's occurring? In the name of Islam, what is this? What if this is something we need to think about? What are these actions in the name of Islam that are being carried out? Can a Muslim carry out such actions? Can he create fitna and feuds and fights and splits in society? There's a big punishment for this in Islam. For such a person who spreads fasad, splits and disputes and fractures in the community, there's a big punishment for this. Now, if Islam was in favor of these bad actions, then why would there be a punishment? If Islam favored a fight and astaghfirullah, blow up buildings and break up the roads and murder people and kill people wherever you go, don't look at children or old people, no differentiation. If Islam was promoting this message, then why does Islam give a punishment for people who carry out these vile actions? So before we say this, that it's a Muslim who's doing this, or Islam says this, we need to think, those people need to think, that what does Islam say about such bad actions? Is there a law in Islam or not? If there is a law, and Allah Ta'ala has guided us in the Quran that these actions are wrong, totally wrong, then we have to say, no, this is wrong. A Muslim cannot do this. Islam does not permit this. Our deen does not permit this. This is wrong. Clear cut, like night and day. So first the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we discussed. So upon such statements or debates, we don't have to waste time. Oh, it's a Muslim. It has to be a Muslim who did this. No. It cannot be a person on the deen. How can a person who's saying that he's promoting the deen do this? Why? Because Islam has kept a punishment for such wrong actions. And this punishment is severe, what the Quran is told. Hadith is separate. That's an addition. But a severe punishment. There's no greater punishment than this. Wallahu billah. Allah says, Wallahu la yuhibbul mufsideen. Allahu Akbar. Can there be any bigger punishment than this? Allah Ta'ala says, I don't know who is this person. I don't have any link with this person. Which religion does he have a link with? Allah says, Wallahu la yuhibbul mufsideen. I have no liking to this person. And if Allah says, I don't like this person, I'm not attached to this person, Allah says, I don't like this person, then will that person go to paradise? Ask you the question. Doesn't matter how many amal and deeds a person performs, Allah announces, I don't like this person, then will his salah take him to paradise? Will his Quran take him into paradise? No. Will his ibadah take him into paradise? No. How can it? No. Allah says, I don't like this person. Such a big punishment. You could say it's the biggest punishment in the Quran. Allah is saying, those people who spread corruption, fasad, Wallahu la yuhibbul mufsideen, and understand that Allah does not love the spreaders of corruption. And here, as far as I have the understand this, in 50 places in the Quran, this subject has come regarding fasad. 50 places, 50 ayat, 50 verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained the consequences of fasad, corruption, fitna. And Allah Ta'ala in most places said that this previous nation did these actions, did these sins, for example, or spread fasad, and after doing these actions then there'd be fractures in the community. Then Allah said, I gave such a punishment to this qawm or this qawm. Allah has explained the details. The details. So here we realize clear cut that Islam does not like wrong actions, spreading fasad, quarrels and fights. These are opposites, two opposites. Fasad and Islam are two extreme opposites. Islam has no link with feuds and outbreaks of arguments and fights. No. Now, we have to see here that, for example, in a daily life, that, for example, how does then the argument start? What's the reason for an argument starting? Or a feud? Or a split in society or between people? Then here, if we say the other person is the one who started it, he comes and he starts to pick on you or pester you. Now what will you do? That, for example, when a person starts to pester, then we will stand firm and say, what is it you're saying? Why did you say this? And that then the discussion will continue, the argument will continue. For example, wife says something, husband, he gives an answer to the wife, then obviously the feud will continue. And the argument will multiply. And in such a situation, to control oneself, a person, only that can be useful at that time. Otherwise, we cannot succeed by just answering back and continuing the debate and the argument. So to control this is something that only people who are strong can do. Only strong people can do. Isn't it? Subject is big. There's a lot of fitna that arises from argumentation and quarrels. A lot of fitnas. As I said, that even religious places, organizations, madrasas, institutions, our tablighi brethren today, nowadays we see that our, mashallah, biggest jama'ah who is doing the work of the deen, and there's a fitna that has arisen today. Has this not happened? A big fitna has arisen in Hindustan, in the Indian subcontinent, in India. And because we are passing through Ramadan, my brothers, so with the fadl of Allah, Allah's grace, Allah's mercies, come to us the few fasts that are left, and may Allah Ta'ala allow us to pass them and observe them with health and iman. What do we know? There's no guarantee. We can do dua to Allah, that Allah, with your karam mercy, give us the rest of Ramadan with ease. With ease. So now, what we see is that as long as Ramadan is progressing, Allah's fadl will keep coming to us, Allah's grace and mercy. Ramadan is giving a lot of messages. The fast is giving a lot of messages. So this is a big topic. So does the fast of Ramadan give us the solution to fasad, to quarreling and fights and disputes? And the fast does give the solution. That the fast says, how can we be saved from fast, fasad? That, for example, a scorpion and its bite, we try to save ourselves. Otherwise, do we say, come scorpion, bite me? Do we ever invite it? Or if a snake is coming, oh, come snake and bite me. No, we try to save ourselves. So, oh fast, tell us, how can we be saved from fasad? One person who naturally is like this, or a husband's like this, then how can the wife be saved? Or if the wife's not good, then how can the husband be saved? Or if a friend is bad at times, or there are people in Maashara, how do we save ourselves from people? So there's no fasad and we are saved from fitna. So is there any method for this? Allah Ta'ala says, yes, there is a method. There's a very good method. I'll explain to you what that is. Allah Ta'ala has given us the solution. So should we listen to what the fast is telling us? Because it will tell us a very beneficial solution. Many houses will improve, inshallah, with the fadl of Allah. Isn't it, Haji Sahab? Yes, masjids will be corrected and there will be peace and our institutions will have peace. There's a hadith with regards to the fasting or the fast, that whenever an individual is in the state of fasting, if, for example, someone swears at you or ridicules you or does fasad against you or pesters you, when somebody does something wrong, then give that person an answer, one answer. Subhanallah. Now comes the cure. What is the answer we should give? That, look, I am fasting. I am fasting. Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. What great, great hikmah in Allah Ta'ala's deen. What do we need to say? Allah. What do we say? That I am fasting. I cannot get involved in this debate or dispute. Doesn't matter how angry you are, your mood is not feeling good, But remember this one point. Why? If we don't say this, if fasting tells us that, if you don't say is an answer, I'm fasting, then that person's already negative. He's in the mashallah in society. He'll read tarawih with you. He'll stand and read, pray tarawih with you, and he'll elbow you. This is my place. Why have you come here? And the fast is saying, no. This is not right. So for example, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a mountain maybe will shift position, but a person's behavior and temperament and mood, if it's bad, then never will he be able to improve towards the good. So at least if that person does not change, then at least we should change for the better, isn't it? This is the talqeen. Repeatedly, Rasulullah ﷺ said that he cannot change, or she cannot change, but at least you can be saved by doing good. You can be saved how? That just like the fast is prescribed to us. So you are fasting and the fitna comes to you. For example, your wife wants to do fitna, or the husband wants to spread fitna, or your friend wants to spread fitna, fasad, and somebody wants to do fitna against your business, or against your shop, against your status. So your deen is all spoiled. So to save the fast will be spoiled. Fast are fighting and answering back, swearing back. And the rosa, the fast gives us a method. Just say these words that, my friend, or sorry, but I am fasting, I cannot get included. So Allah Ta'ala's hikmah and barakah and blessings are there. Because the cures that Allah Ta'ala gives to us, don't look at the weight of it, don't look at the words, look at the hikmah in Allah Ta'ala's solutions. Hikmah. Because these words are coming from above, from the heavens. This is not Maulana Sahib, Peer Sahib, Hazrat Sahib who are telling us that we can doubt. This is Rabbi Kareem. Allah Rabbi Kareem is for the universe. Allah is making an announcement for people that Allah is the only one who can save you from the spiritual disease and the sins. That if you follow Allah's solution and advice, then you'll be saved. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when a person does this in the fasting month, and the person who's fasting says this, what will be his hal? Whatever reaction he gets, for example, normally for anger or something else, then suddenly he'll stop and he won't go beyond that and he'll be at peace. So if he doesn't go beyond that, then how will fasad come? Fasad will never come anywhere, will it? It won't come in the masjid. It won't come in the madrasa. It won't come in the house. It won't come in the ma'ashira. Nor will it come in the country. Nowhere. It will not come anywhere. And the fast will be saved. And why do we say this? Because if we start fighting, then where will our fast go? It will be spoiled down the drain. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, there's a hadith in Mubarak. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated in this hadith that if there are some people who are fasting, and there are some people who are fast, but all they have done is leave the food and the drink in the name of fast, but they are not fasting because they are carrying on with all of the wrong actions. Totally, they are fighting, quarreling, fasad, swearing. They've just left eating, drinking, and they've given themselves the title, I'm a fasting person. Yes, and the name of a Muslim has been kept, and the actions of fast are being happened, carried out, implement. But for example, they're by name, they're Muslim, but the rest of the actions are wrong. They're throwing bombs and arguing and killing. So this is by name, Islam. This is not implementation, but action-wise, is it? Look how Islam explains, don't go by the name, go by the action. Allah says, look at the qualities. Muslims have qualities. They don't have names. They don't have titles. Look at the guts of a Muslim, his characteristics, his character, his akhlaq, his manners, his principles. Is his life according to Sharia? Is it according to the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When we see that, then we can say this person's a Muslim. Otherwise, anyone can keep a Muslim name. Does it take long to keep a name? No. For example, you can keep 4 or 5 names as a title, long title. So a Muslim, how will a Muslim be recognized? Due to his akhlaqiyat, his manners, good behavior, good conduct, love and affection for others, which the Quran has told us, which the Shariat has told us, which the Sunnah has told us, and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us this. That first we need to instill that color of the deen in our hearts, pure and clean. Not the color at the top, sometimes I wear imama and keep the beard, and I'm this and I'm pious, and then suddenly we collapse, our iman collapses. Why? Because the order is coming from behind. But look at the history of Islam and the Quran. Look at the different people. And not just tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands who had a good character, good akhlaq, and Islam was pure in their hearts. Will they create argumentation in society and fasad and spread corruption? So straight away, we shouldn't just advertise and say, Islam is this and Islam says, I'm free from such actions. I have no link with violence, indiscriminate against people and violence and killing and murdering, all of these things. No, Islam says, I have no link with this. So when a person says this, that I'm fasting, I don't want to argue with you and answer back, then Allah says, this is the cure, and we have to do this. We don't just say, oh, this is a small action, how will this have an effect on me if I'm about to argue? And this is where we fail. Time is short, otherwise I could, with the hikmah of Allah, tell you a great event, very beneficial. It'll take some time. So Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom to understand it, a person should be very, very understanding and careful and become a good human being. That the points that are coming from Allah, don't weigh them in your analysis of your mind. Even if it's a small thing, straight away bring it into amal. So when the fasting person does amal, then his fast is saved. Otherwise his fast is gone. Fitna will come. Corruption will come. Fasad will come. Many times in Ramadan, we are confronted with challenges that we have to test our iman and akhlaq. Even in the house, amongst the family, we have these sort of challenges. So what's the cure? That we have saved the fast and said, the fast says, I am fast. I am the fast. I've come to teach you. And we say, Ramadan, we need to progress through this lesson. We can't just be people fasting every day. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So speak about after Ramadan. How can I be at ease for the rest of the year? So there's no facade and argumentation. What do we do after Ramadan? Then how do I save myself from people and the fitna? And then again it will start the quarrel and the argument. And the fast says, you're foolish. You haven't understood the message yet. I come to give hints, but I speak for the rest of your life. Subhanallah. So understand this hint, this direction I'm giving to you. Understand it. Understand this hint, the direction. This explanation is a great explanation that this formula of mine, inshallah, will assist us all throughout our lives. So, just like you said, oh fast, that I'm the fasting person. Just like I said that to you, and now I'm fasting. I cannot give an answer to you. I can't quarrel with you. I can't argue. Why? Because my fast will be spoiled, and I have given the reason that I'm fasting, and I cannot argue with you. I can't do that. I'm in the state of fast. So the other person says, fine, you won't fast afterwards. Will you pray Salah? He said, okay, you should say that. I pray Salah. I can't do this sin. Same thing. So just weigh through this action of fasting. Ramadan says, you are spoiling me if you sin. But after Ramadan, Fard Salah will come. At that time, you'll be a person who prays Salah. Habitual. You're praying Salah and a fitna is coming around you. Then you have to stand firm and give the answer that I've just come back from praying Salah. And if you give the reference of any of your practice and deeds, there'll be so much barakah in that action that nobody will want to argue or fight with us. Nobody. Subhanallah, what a solution. So this is the great lesson that we learned today. So, for example, if you're not praying Salah in the morning, if you're not praying Salah, or for example, if you recite the Quran, don't we want our recitation to be accepted? Or if we go to the masjid, do we not want it to be accepted? Allah says, I test you in every step. So Allah Ta'ala has given us means to test us. That Allah Ta'ala says, among these fitnas all around them, and they do ibadah and worship, will this person come towards his Rabb, or will he run off towards Shaitan's path? Then Allah Ta'ala says, I send fitna to strengthen the person's iman, if he passes the test. And after Salah, the promotion that was to be given, Alhamdulillah, then Allah Ta'ala says, that person, he's come back from praying Salah, he's got a lot of confidence, Alhamdulillah, that he wants to protect his Salah. There is any value in his eyes for his Salah, in his heart, in his mind, is there any qadr, any appreciation? That for example, let me see how much this person appreciates Salah, Allah Ta'ala says. That when he will have qadr and appreciation for Salah, for example, if in your pocket there's 5,000, and then you will hide that money, put it deep in your pocket, put it under your armpit, and you'll say, I want to save my money because the value is 5,000, and you'll try to save your wallet from a thief, because if the thief comes to me a pickpocket, he'll take the money away. The same way you prayed Salah, this is such a big amal that maybe this Salah we've just read will get us forgiven on the Day of Judgment. Is this a small thing? No, that Salah that we've just prayed, Allah Ta'ala says, according to this, after the sijda, the person who does prostration, his prostration is like Mi'raj. Is Salah a small thing? Now fast, the poor soul is fast. But Salah is very high in status and grade. So we are saving the fast. We are trying to save the fast. Don't we want to save our Salah? Just like we say to someone in Ramadan, I'm fasting, I cannot argue with you. Same way, we should think that the thief is about to steal my Salah. And give him the answer, look, I want to pray my Salah, I want to preserve my Salah, I've just come back from praying Salah. That after a few days, I won't be able to give an answer. So Allah Ta'ala will put barakah due to that Salah, that Allah will protect that person's Salah, that inshallah, in your behavior and conduct, there will be no need to quarrel or fight with a person. No need. In the same way is the recitation of the Quran, the same way is the dhikr of Allah. This is all sadaqah of Rasulullah. The mu'min, his duty is that he's always got to be doing something positive. Dhikr or tabaliq or some work of the deen. All of these actions are valuable. That if we say we are a people of iman and then we waste opportunities. What about tahajjud? Another example similar. So what we realize here is that the fast, Ramadan has given us another great message. And if we use our aql, intellect, then we can succeed. So what's the aql we have to use? That Allah and his Rasul, let's listen to their orders, instructions and do practice on them. So this is the example that Ramadan has given to us. That if you want to Complete your life in a good way. And if you want to totally follow the guidance of Allah Ta'ala's Quran and the Sunnah, Shara, then just like you are observing everything good in Ramadan, your Salah has been accepted, your Quran has been accepted, you're saving yourself from all of the sins and you're protecting yourself from the evil and the darkness, and you're taking the reward and the doors of Jannah are open for you and it's waiting to give you all the rewards. And 30 days, what do you lose for the rest of the time? It's telling us that if in the same way you keep on listening to the ahkams of Allah Ta'ala's orders and you protect yourself, then the rest of your life, Alhamdulillah, will also be correct and safe and sound. You'll be protected. So what should we do? No, he keeps pestering me, he fights with me, he wants to quarrel with me. I tried to be protected and at peace, and I was doing this, and this person came and spoiled the day, and I was reading Quran, I was telling him hadith, and then he found me. Then I was burning inside my heart. Why did he say this? Why did he do this? That person, for example, you shouldn't be like this. If the other person is negative, the cure for that person has come. That, for example, he speaks to you on the phone, you say, okay, no problem. At this moment in time, I'm about to do something. I'm busy. I've got a responsibility. I'm about to read the Quran and the hadith, and I'm giving a dars. So please don't expect that I can give the response. And straight away, that person will cool down. So never give the answer of fighting, quarreling with the same action. No, Allah Ta'ala will give His attention and reward to that person who stays away and abstains. If we say, Allah, I did it for this reason because this person said do this, Allah will say, why did you carry out this action? Why didn't you do what I told you to do? Why didn't you do that? Why did you have to follow the other person? Allah Ta'ala says, I created fitrah in you, natural instincts and behavior. Allah said, I wanted to test you and elevate your status. Oh, what could I do? My wife was like this. My fast would have been spoiled. And I had to by force give the divorce. Allah says, no, the question never arises that a person should even think of that. There's no divorce in the history of a Sahabi or a Muslim, a person who wants to follow the deen. So we have to understand that Allah Ta'ala has given me, the woman should think Allah has given me a man of the house like this, or the man should think Allah has given me a wife like this. If one of them spreads fasad and fitna and is not good to right way of thinking, then if for the sake of Allah, if you value this and you should implement everything that Allah has given to you in the way that Allah Ta'ala wants us to implement this. So if fitna is coming from that person, for example, you work in a shop, or you're malazim, you're an employee, or there's a factory, and let's say you're the boss and employees come, or you've opened an institution, Darul Uloom Madrasa, and ustads come to the learning institute, because obviously there's fitna spread out everywhere. So if you keep the imam and the Quran, then for example, you give the mic nowadays to the imam, and the environment may change, there might be a lot of friction and opposition and quarrels. So for example, a masjid, what does it become? A fight start and continue and multiply. Subhanallah. The dhikr of Allah comes and it makes that masjid a real masjid. Yes, we try to change the color and the atmosphere in that masjid, but we can't. So Allah Ta'ala says, the people have paid attention, they have understanding now. Do dhikr here, then you will be successful. Then you'll be successful in the house of Allah. That in front of the masjid, this is an open example. We see that nothing in the world can correct this place. Nothing was helping this place. Could anything? Oh, don't go here. Don't pray salah here. A mu'min would not go to pray salah. Nobody would go there to pray salah. Nobody would pass by near to that place. And today I went, I swear by Allah. I was amazed, shocked. That two children, young children, they said, you know who is this man? When they saw me, I was buying some shopping. They said, this is that person who has a masjid where dhikr takes place. And they forgot my name and they said that, oh, he's got a dhikr masjid. The name of the masjid, Masjid Zakariya. Subhanallah. This is the understanding. So the point here is that when we don't focus on Allah, when we don't rely on Allah, then fasad will spread everywhere. Problems and difficulties will spread everywhere. Person tries to use his akal to solve his problems. As soon as a person pays attention to Allah, Allah Ta'ala's name is elevated, then even then the lips will move and the scenario will continue, but dhikr will cool down the flames. The person who is the dhakir, he doesn't pay towards the dunya, the true honest dhakir. He doesn't pay attention to the dunya. Why does a person who does dhikr says, oh, you're not doing this right, you're doing this wrong. Oh, come, I'll fight with you. No, this is not the way to think it. So if there's no answer from the other side, then how will that fight and quarrel increase? That's why I stated that pay attention to Allah. Pay attention to Allah. So dhikr gives us this benefit, this conclusion. Allah Ta'ala says that a person whose behavior and manners and conduct is good, then he will spread good. And if a person quarrels and argues and fights, then Allah says that keep the fast. Not this, you make a decision, I divorce and break the house and break the windows and send the children out. No, this is not the status of a Muslim. We should understand that Allah Ta'ala has given me this challenge, this test, I need to make a stand here. And due to this, I need to earn paradise and pick up the life stories of the walis of Allah. that why should I let this person detach from me? Why should I let this person detach from me? Why should, for example, sack this person, send him out of the factory or out of the workplace or the institution, Islamic institution? So we say, why are you going? Why are you leaving? Stay here. So when that person thinks, I've got control, and he goes, let me now make hay from this situation. I'll do what I can do because everybody wants to keep me here and make me stay. So that person, he plays games. But the person who's pious, mashallah, he doesn't allow the problem to get out of hand. And for example, he stays quiet. If the employer is bossing, he says, done, no problem. And he leaves that workplace. So we're so grateful to you, O Ramadan. You've explained to us. So another great point has come to us, my friends. I should do amal on this and you should do amal on this. We should try our utmost that in the life, in our lives, we don't continue living with facade, with quarrels or arguments. This is not the shan of a Muslim. And a person lying and swearing and making anger, etc., then he wastes the opportunities and the deeds that he has performed. If he backbites, and from fighting and quarreling and disputes until today, nobody has attained anything, nothing at all, zero. For thereafter, sukoon goes, sakina goes, contentment goes, and a person has a lot of extreme and high and low mood points, and illnesses arise, and lots of problems arise due to the issue at hand. So what's the benefit? So fitna and fasad result in loss. But a person, no, he wants to use fitna and fasad to promote himself. Oh, my head is high. The person said this to me. This person says to me. No. So, for example, if somebody pesters you, you give the right answer. Allah Ta'ala says, Wallahu la yuhibbul mufsideen. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't like the people. I don't love the people who spread corruption. May Allah Ta'ala save us from corruption, fasad, and quarrels. And may Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be a true and honest Muslim. Ameen.